My friends, in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, the gospel reading today from the sixth chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke as Jesus speaks of this radical love. He says, I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you, to the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from the one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. But love your enemies, do good, lend, expect nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be called the sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. This is our text. Please be seated. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, that makes any American heart stir, doesn't it? Thomas Jefferson, 1776, the Declaration of Independence. What is more American than the individual rights that are enshrined for us in our founding documents and secured by our Constitution? It is these rights and so many others that make America, America, right? And fighting to protect these rights is the duty of every American. And conversely, trying to restrict or to abolish these rights is anti-American, right? So, is Jesus some kind of an anti-American? Because for the life of me, it sounds like Jesus in our gospel reading is saying that Christian citizenship is really fundamentally a giving up of your rights. I mean, if I have to do good to those who hate me, I give up my right to go after them in a court of law. If I have to bless those who curse me, then I give up the right to sue them for defamation of character. And if I have to give the other cheek to the one who struck me, then I give up my right to self-defense. And if I have to give my tunic to the one who has already stolen my cloak, I have given up the right to personal property. And if I'm not allowed to demand back what was borrowed from me, I give up my rights to legal redress. And yet Jesus says all of these things unequivocally. Right now, in our pastors in our circuit, we are reading a book together titled The American Mind Meets the Mind of Christ. It is a series of essays that explores the vast chasm between the way Americans think about things and the way Christ thinks about them. And the third essay in this book is by Dr. Joel Bierman. He is a seminary professor at our St. Louis Seminary. And it addresses the way radical American individualism has spawned an obsessive insistence on our individual rights, regardless of any cost to you, my neighbor, or to the community as a whole. And so, I don't care if killing a baby at birth takes another human life and their right to life. I don't care if it dehumanizes all of us. I don't care if it degrades the culture. I insist on my right to reproductive freedom, which is just a ridiculous euphemism, of course. It's not reproductive freedom at all. It's the right to murder what you've reproduced. It's what it is. And I don't care about your right to free speech. I insist upon my right to not have you speaking somewhere where I might have to hear you. And so I'm going to put you in a free speech zone, somewhere way off on the corner of the campus, where I don't ever have to encounter you. And I don't care about your right to privacy. If I am a biological male who identifies as a female, I insist upon my right to be in the women's locker room. I don't care what you think about it. See the problem? Our nation is experiencing a flood tide of obsession with self. And it's not that, don't get me wrong, it's not that individual rights are somehow evil in and of themselves. As a matter of fact, individual rights are essential for the smooth functioning of a republic like ours. And when it comes to your rights, I will stand up and fight for you. Did you notice how we sang that in the hymn? We ask God, give me courage, Lord, to speak whenever strong oppress the weak. If your rights are being violated, I will stand up for you. But then we went on to sing, should I myself the victim be? Help me forgive, remembering thee. See, I don't stand up for my own rights. I forgive. The problem with what's happening in America is that sinners get a hold of a concept like individual rights and they take it too far. That's like we do with everything, isn't it? Until individual rights become this radical autonomy, this notion that the individual is supreme over everything, even over the community, and that personal self-indulgence is the ultimate right of every individual that must not be infringed upon. And so this past week, we saw this poor kid at UC Berkeley get beat up because some thug thinks he has the right not to have to hear another point of view. Never mind the kid's right not to get beat up. But you see, that's what's happening. It's my rights that must be protected, even at your expense. And so we see this kind of friction and strife building in our nation. It is the unavoidable product of the way we understand individual rights. We are like a nation of little children who are tugging at a toy saying, mine, mine, no, mine, mine. The problem is that the radical insistence on my rights at any cost to you or to the community ultimately destroys community, and it destroys our own moral compass, our sense of how we ought to behave toward each other and give deference to each other and give love to each other. The radical insistence on individual rights is antithetical to love, love as Jesus teaches it and lives it for us. So, what does Dr. Bierman say in this essay? It sounds radical, but he says that according to our Lord and Master, we Christians have no rights. Now that's something to chew on. But how can any American say that? It's right there in our Declaration of Independence, that the Creator has endowed us with rights. But remember that God constitutes human government to order our lives as citizens of this world. But it is the Word of God that orders our lives as citizens of heaven. And when it comes to that dual citizenship, citizenship here on earth and citizenship in heaven, it is our baptismal birth as citizens of the kingdom of heaven that comes first and foremost in our lives. As Paul said to the Philippians, our citizenship is in heaven. What happened to Bo Bachelman today is a reminder of what happened to all of us when we got wet in our baptism and we were given a higher birth than our birth as Americans, and we were called to a higher calling to be the citizens of heaven. And as such, we order our lives as Christians by the word of God that comes from heaven. So consider then how the King of Heaven gave love to you. Did he not give up his individual rights and his prerogatives to love you and to serve you? Though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Thus wrote Paul to the Philippians, if ever anyone had rights and had autonomy, it was Jesus. As God, he can do anything he wants without having to answer to anyone. It is his right. And yet he set all of that aside as if he has no rights. The only one who has true autonomy, the only one who can do whatever he wants to do, became our servant, and he went to the cross without objection, without complaining about the injustice of it all. And like a lamb that was silently led to the slaughter, he went to his death for us. That is how you give love. Joseph in our Old Testament reading was of a kindred mind. Given that his brothers had sold him into slavery, I think we would all agree that Joseph had every right to avenge that wrong, to punish his brothers, and if Joseph had had the mind of most Americans, that's probably what he would have done. But Joseph is first and foremost a citizen of heaven, and he takes his marching orders from the King of Heaven, who had been so gracious to him, even in his troubles, had saved his life. How could he not do likewise for his brothers and forgive them and show them kindness? In a world that is obsessed with attaining rights and protecting rights and exerting rights, there is a sublime beauty in the mindset of Joseph and of Jesus. While everyone else noisily, ceaselessly, even violently insists that everyone else attend to their individual rights, Christians simply repudiate the whole idea. We refuse to play that game. And that is profoundly beautiful. After all, the one who had the greatest influence on all of human history was not the one who marched for his rights, or the one who protested for his rights, or the one who fought for his rights, or exerted his rights. But it was the one who set aside his rights to give us love. Have this mind in you, Paul said to the Philippians. Have that mind of Christ in you. And you can hardly imagine a more arresting witness to the world than a group of people who refuse to stand on their rights, a people who have given up the whole notion of entitlement and who instead have taken the posture of those who humbly receive good gifts that we do not deserve. Forgiveness of our sins, life, salvation from Christ our Lord. We don't need rights. We have Christ. And in him we have every good gift of God. So let the American mind pursue the course of individual rights at the expense of everyone else. But the mind of Christ delights in a reality that is infinitely more beautiful, giving love to each other at my expense. Let ours be the mind of Christ. Setting aside our rights, we will love those who despise us. We will do good to those who hurt us. We will forgive those who have sinned against us. We will bless those who curse us. Setting aside our rights, we will return kindness for hatred and give generously to those who are in need without expecting any reward. Setting aside our rights, we will treat others the way we wish they would treat us. Setting aside our rights, we will show love without expecting anything in return or any reward. Setting aside our rights, we will show mercy because we have been shown mercy by our Lord and Savior. And that is how to give love. Let's pray the words of our previous hymn. You came to earth, O Christ, as Lord, but power you laid aside. You lived your years in servanthood, in lowliness you died. Lord, help us walk your servant way, wherever love may lead, and bending low, forgetting self, each serve the other's need. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.